This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
As you know, we have a population of personnel that most are vaccinated. Some have chosen not to get vaccinated. They have their reasons for that.
What do we know and what should we expect in terms of what could happen to this series moving forward?
Barton, it's unclear at this point.
Maybe it's becoming a little bit more clear, though, and we'll get you updated on Yankees-Red Sox and what to expect this weekend as we kick off Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bob Wischusen sitting in for the guys, have been here all week and thought I was going to be able to start off the day with Jeff Passan joining us at 12:30, with Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees, joining us at the top of the next hour ahead of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN right here in New York. I thought we were going to have a lot of baseball to talk about. I thought we were going to be able to kick off the post-All-Star break with this most incredible important Yankees-Red Sox series, specifically to the Yankees, where careers could be determined for the Yankees over the next couple of weeks. And yet the PTSD of COVID hits us again yesterday. And I think there are two things that come out of what happened yesterday that I think they're almost competing points, but tie together in where this goes sports-wise in the future. I'll get to that in a moment as we bring you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And, of course, your telephone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But this all began yesterday with Buster Olney as part of our broadcast crew on site at Yankee Stadium, because we were supposed to have that game last night on ESPN. We were going to have the bookend games of the four-game series on television, a standalone Yankees-Red Sox nationally televised game last night to kick off the second half of the baseball season on a perfect night, or what would have been, for baseball in the Bronx. And instead, Buster Olney was on hand to witness as part of the broadcast crew this, a lead-up to the postponement.
Seemed like just a typical mid-afternoon at a baseball park after the All-Star break, where you saw players, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock were drifting on the field, Yankee players going out to play catch. Gary Sanchez was playing catch. Some Red Sox players are coming out on the other side. You saw Red Sox-Yankees players talking, Luis Severino going over toward the Red Sox dugout to catch up with friends. And then a Yankee spokesperson came out, told the media to clear the field. And just 20 minutes later, we got the announcement from Major League Baseball that this game was postponed. Both sides obviously trying to be diligent moving forward.
And, of course, Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, right in the middle of it, frustrated that COVID is still impacting his team and they're dealing with the protocols again. Here's the Yankee manager.
First and foremost, obviously, anyone that's testing positive, making sure they're, you know, help them, you know, be as healthy as can be. You know, obviously, we have a couple of them that have had symptoms, but are most, for the most part, doing pretty well. So we'll just, you know, rally around them and give them the support they need and see where this thing goes as, you know, the hours kind of unfold and we wait to get, you know, more of the lab-based testing back.
And I'm not sure, was that the cut talking about safety and patience from Aaron Boone? I think there is a cut of Aaron Boone where apparently he's expressing some frustration that COVID is still with us and affecting his team. Here's the Yankee skipper.
Certainly, you know, disappointing and frustrating and, you know, don't want to be sitting here talking about this and desperately want us to go back to as normal as possible. But that's out of our control, too. And we just got to do the best with the circumstances and with the hand that we're dealt and try and make sure we're taking care of one another as best we can, taking care of our players and staff as best we can.
And Brian Cashman also trying to talk about the steps the Yankees are continuing to take to make sure the players are safe and hopefully this doesn't happen again. Here's the Yankee general manager.
If there's anything we can be better at as we move forward, you know, those are fair questions to ask. I don't have an answer for that right now. I know that, you know, we rely on a lot of guidance from medical experts and try to implement to the best of our abilities. And as you know, we have a population of personnel that most are vaccinated. Some have chosen not to get vaccinated. They have their reasons for that. And, you know, we're certainly trying to create, Major League Baseball is, as well as the New York Yankees, a safe environment to come work and travel in.
Yeah, and here's what I take out of all of that. The frustration, COVID is still with us. The Delta variant is real. Trying to keep it in perspective, we are nowhere near where we were back in the winter and certainly last year. We have made monumental progress against the fight with this virus, but this variant is real. It is spreading, and you can see it has impacted sports. Sports is, like the rest of society, not immune, even if some of the players have been vaccinated. And the Yankees are an 85% threshold team where their vaccination is concerned. Now, they've taken the J&J vaccine. Saw John Heyman tweet this earlier, that across the board, it's been the one-shot J&J vaccine. And I know there's this idea that with this, you know, these breakthrough infections, that, oh, maybe the vaccine doesn't work. It does work. I think that's the other point. COVID is still with us, but the vaccine works. And the reason it sounds kind of juxtaposed against each other is the vaccine works. Why do we have two Yankee outbreaks? You can still get, especially a more contagious variant, even if you have been vaccinated. Sometimes it seems like certain vaccines are even more effective against the variant than others. But the main point is, all of the vaccines keep you out of the hospital. They keep you off a ventilator. They keep you from dying. And that's really the goal. I mean, the goal is to protect these guys, protect any segment of society from the worst outcome. Right? It's like the flu shot. You know, you still could get the flu, but hopefully you won't have anything more than a sniffle. The idea is, I think, that, you know, the positive to focus on with the Yankees is that even with two outbreaks, the players that have been vaccinated and the personnel that's been vaccinated have not had, not only have they not had a bad outcome, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone both said they're mostly all doing fine. So I think that's the thing to focus on the most. Now, how is this going as we move forward to continue to impact sports? It's impacted the Olympics, right? Bradley Beal is now out of the Olympics for contact tracing for Team USA. And Greg Popovich, of course, the head coach of Team USA, getting ready to take his group over to Tokyo to compete in the Summer Games, reacted to the very disappointing news that Bradley Beal can't go along. Here's Pop.
Dying for him. We all are. You know, since he's a little kid, this has been a dream of his. He was playing great. He was having fun, being a big part of us coming together chemistry-wise and as a family. And so for him and for his family, immediate family, it's devastating.
So to me, even with all this bad news, the best thing we can say, and that's the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, is that, yes, this is still with us. It is still impacting us. And hopefully at some point we will get to the point where it won't. But we may have to live in a world where, even with vaccinations, the goal is to keep something that's going to still circulate, keep everyone as safe as humanly possible from it. And look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not the expert. We do have someone, though, standing by that is an expert. So I'm going to bring on Scott Ellerin now. He is the director of infectious diseases at South Shore Health up in Boston, and also an ABC News medical contributor. And so very happy to have, you know, a true expert on. And doctor, I guess the jumping off point is, how worried should sports fans be about what happened yesterday? An outbreak with the Yankees at the stadium cancels a game last night. Whatever the trickle-down effect of these positives might be, I think we all thought this was going to be in our rearview mirror. Obviously, it's not. How concerned should we be?
So I don't think we need to be overly concerned. The good news with the Yankees is that they are mostly vaccinated. And we know that those people who are vaccinated, even if they have breakthrough infections, which is not common, but is occurring more with this Delta variant, we know that people generally don't get hospitalized, don't die from this, don't end up in the intensive care unit. Of course, there are exceptions. You know, we know that the Yankees third base coach, Phil Nevin, was hospitalized for 3 weeks, after he got infected at the last round with some of the Yankees transmission. So, of course, this can happen, but we are really doing well. I think it's just underscores two things. One is, you know, we have to judge this to be a sign that the pandemic is not over. And number two, if you are unvaccinated, it's time to roll up your sleeve.
Yeah, I guess, you know, to add just a little humorous aspect to this, when you first heard this story, obviously very serious if the Yankees are testing positive, but you as a Boston guy and a Red Sox fan, was your first thought as, oh, here's one more way that the Yankees are going to kind of stick it to the Red Sox here, and all of a sudden now our All-Stars have to get tested?
Exactly. I was looking for eight more wins for Boston. I mean, we sort of have cleaned up the last couple of series, so yeah, I was a little disappointed, to say the least.
Yeah, well, I guess my question would be, in terms of sports moving forward, if I told you that 100% of the Yankees and Red Sox were vaccinated, now we know there can still be, even with the J&J vaccine, I know that the Yankees got when they had their first outbreak, there can be breakthrough infections The good news is the vaccines work in that these guys didn't go to the hospital and nobody ended up on a ventilator and nobody died. So it protected them from any of the consequences of COVID. You can still be impacted, though. You can still test positive. So with that being the framework, if 100% of both teams are vaccinated and you tested players and you found out someone tested positive, could a COVID-positive player play in a game if everyone on the field is vaccinated? I mean, could that be sports moving forward where we have to learn how to live with this, where guys could conceivably test positive, but if they're all vaccinated, you could still play games?
Right, and what you're saying is sort of that when you have an entirely vaccinated community and you get infected, you're sort of changing the dynamic from something that, you know, can be more influenza-like, flu-like illness, can lead to hospitalizations, to something that's more like in the common cold or asymptomatic. So the answer is, could I envision it? I mean, right now I can't envision it because that is not consistent with CDC guidelines. I want to be clear. Anyone who tests positive and is infected, whether they have symptoms or not, whether they're vaccinated or not, need to isolate for 10 days at this point. Okay. Now, the close contacts, of course, if they're unvaccinated, they need to quarantine. If they're vaccinated, they actually don't need to quarantine. But I think you are raising a good point, and that is, over time, we're trying to find out what the new normal is. And you're asking me to predict that. And I just don't know if what you said will be a reality in the future. Certainly, it's not going to be a reality in the near future.
Yeah, when people heard about this story yesterday, I think the first thing that jumped to mind, because we're seeing full stadiums, right? We just watched the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. The place was packed. Restaurants are open. America is back open again. And yet now we have COVID cancellations of sporting events. Is there any way to actually say when this will finally all end? Because, you know, I think a lot of people thought this was in our rearview mirror, and yet here we still are.
You may have just heard that L.A. County just announced indoor mask mandates, whether you're vaccinated or not. And I certainly don't have any problem with this. Any added layer of safety, I think, given the fact that the Delta variant is on the rise. And by the way, we know what's happening in Israel. We know what's happening in the U.K. The COVID cases will rise, and they're going to rise in the United States. That's just a fact. So I think the bottom line is, we have to figure out how to protect ourselves, best way to protect ourselves against this variant at a time when there is still uncertainty and when still one third of the country is unvaccinated. And that is a big problem. Remember, you know that 99% of deaths that have been occurring from COVID-19 have been in unvaccinated people over the past many months. And that is a major problem. So we just have to get the word out. And I appreciate your having me on so we can do this and get more unvaccinated people vaccinated. That's the best way to keep the stadiums open, to keep us unmasked, and to let these games continue.
Well, I appreciate you joining us and lending perspective. Again, it's Dr. Todd Ellerin, Director of Infectious Diseases, South Shore Health, and an ABC News medical contributor, joining us to talk about the outbreak that the Yankees are undergoing right now, its impact on the Red Sox, the fact that we have already one canceled game, and who knows what's going to happen for the rest of the weekend. And again, I think what you're trying to do, and I think it's the right way to approach it, is lend some perspective. And maybe you can give us a wide-angle lens of this Delta variant, how it could impact sports and our ability to go to the stadiums and get back to normal, but still how dangerous it is. You know, I live in New Jersey, just as a microcosm of, we were hit hard. Back when this was surging, we were getting 6,000 cases a day, right? We were getting 250, 275, 300 people dying a day. Now, we got down to about 150 cases a day and a handful of deaths. So, not to minimize a handful of deaths, five people passing away is five people passing away, but worlds better than where we were. Now we're about 300 cases a day. So, we were at 6,000. We got to 150. Now we're at 300. All right, so our rate has doubled, but it's still 300 cases compared to 6,000. So I think people kind of hear two messages. We're way down in terms of positives, but positives have doubled in certain places. What's really the truth, the true perspective of how dangerous this variant is and how worried we should be that it's going to take numbers to a different place?
The, what is our goal, Bob? That's the question. In the U.S., we have never gotten cases below that 10,000 cases a day window that we talked about before. We never got to zero cases, as, by the way, many other countries did. So the question is, what is the type of full court press we want to put on this virus? I think right now, as we're seeing cases increase, that it is really important that if you are unvaccinated, you are masking indoors, whether there's a mandate or whether there's not. If you are immunocompromised, it is especially important, whether you're vaccinated or not, that you are masking indoors. You know, the truth of the matter is, for most people, though, who are vaccinated, the Delta variant is going to be basically just a nuisance, a minor nuisance. I do not expect many people to become hospitalized or die if you're vaccinated. But if you are unvaccinated, we have the most highly contagious variant that we've had to date. It's twice as contagious as the original one. Now, is it much more virulent? Is it deadlier? Not necessarily. No, I am not saying that. But when you have more cases in general, you will see some more hospitalizations, and you will see some more deaths. But the good news here is, because almost half the country at this point has received their COVID-19 vaccine, I do believe that we will see cases rise, but we will not see as many hospitalizations or as many deaths as we saw in the past. Another way of saying it, Bob, is I think the worst is absolutely behind us. We are not going back to last winter.
And that the vaccines work, right?
The vaccines are, I mean, mind-blowingly effective and mind-blowingly safe.
My wife is a registered nurse. She vaccinated me, and she came in with that needle from, like, a distance. You know what I mean? Like, she enjoyed it. And and I couldn't run to get vaccinated fast enough. And I'm hoping, as more and more examples of this pop up, where sports, I think, is something, because it's so front and center in our culture, you know, maybe this will continue to be like John Rahm at the Memorial, the Yankees yesterday, you know, case in point as to how we can finally get out of this. And just get back to ballparks without a worry.
You can appreciate the fact that I don't like the Yankees because I'm from Boston, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I'm impressed that their organization is more than 85% vaccinated. That is to be lauded, you know, and that will help save lives.
Doctor, thank you very much for this perspective, and thank you very much for the time.
Take care, Bob.
That's Dr. Todd Ellerin joining us here, the Director of Infectious Diseases, South Shore Health, and also an ABC News medical contributor. And to me, the overall takeaway from talking to a true expert is this is still with us, not nearly as serious as it used to be, but if you are unvaccinated, you could still have a very bad outcome, and the vaccines work. And in spite of the fact that there were some breakthrough infections with the Yankees back earlier this season, and hopefully the majority of the guys that were impacted in this latest outbreak are among the 85% that have been vaccinated, that there will not be a bad outcome, that hopefully they will be back sooner rather than later. Now, how does this impact the Yankees, the Red Sox series the rest of the weekend? And also, how does it impact what really over the next 2 weeks for the Yankees will determine their season A, what they do with the trade deadline B, and might shape careers as well? We'll talk to Jeff Passett about that coming up next. And also, as we get close to the trade deadline, what are the Cubs going to do with all of their collateral? Are there other big names on the block around baseball that could be moved at the deadline? We'll talk to Jeff Passett about that. Michael Kay, host of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN here in New York City, will join us at the top of the next hour as we get ready for what is, it looks like, going to be at least a three-game series this weekend between the Yankees and the Red Sox. What happens with the cancellation from yesterday, where it gets put in the schedule? That's another question to talk about. And your telephone calls to 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Again, Dr. Ellis's appearance brought to you by Goodyear. He was on the Goodyear hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Jeff Passan joins us in just a moment after this word from Home Depot. DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools mean more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. Yes, that's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started. Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Coming right back to talk to Jeff Passan on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
But choosing in for Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Well, COVID cancellation yesterday seemed to rock the sports world coming out of the Major League Baseball All-Star break. Now we actually, it seems, do have an MLB weekend preview to give you, brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma, Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. And no one better to talk baseball with than our own insider, Jeff Passan, who joins us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Bob Wischusen again in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Robert, how are you?
I am doing great. I saw you tweet a moment ago, but for those that don't aren't as dialed into your Twitter feed as they should, I mean, I think your Twitter feed should be an instant alert on every phone in America. It certainly is on mine, but that being said, there might be some people didn't see your tweet. So what is the news for tonight and maybe moving through the weekend for the Yankees and Red Sox? What are we looking like?
Well, the good news right now is that there have been no new positives in the last round of COVID testing for Yankees players. So as it stands at this moment, the Yankees and Red Sox are going to play tonight. There's another round of testing that needs to be done before that happens, rapid testing when players get to the stadium today. And beyond that, the Yankees, all six of their positives have been confirmed. So for the next 10 days, they're going to be missing Aaron Judge, Kyle Higashioka, Gio Urshela, Nestor Cortez, Wandy Peralta, and I think for probably 5 days, Jonathan Loaisiga. So there's a lot going on right now, and for the Yankees, for this team that needs to make a run before the trade deadline, none of it's very good.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to that in a moment, but just for clarification purposes, because I know there's some folks driving around right now or listening. They're saying, well, wait a minute. We were told that some of these guys that had the breakthrough positives have been vaccinated. Some haven't been. Are the rules the same if you test positive in baseball, vaccinated, unvaccinated? Or if we find out that Aaron Judge, say, for instance, has indeed been vaccinated, could he come back faster than maybe some of the other guys?
Well, the rule is if you test positive, then there's a 10-day quarantine there. And that is something that I don't believe has changed for any of the players. So a positive is a positive, and what they're trying to prevent is a big outbreak. And it's clear that with the majority of these players who have tested positive, according to Brian Cashman, being vaccinated, that the vaccine is not going to prevent you from a positive test. What it is in almost every case going to prevent you from is serious sickness, illness, and death. And that is why yesterday Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, even Phil Nevin, who had the Yankees outbreak a couple months ago, their third base coach, was advocating for the vaccine because he actually did get sick. And doctors told him had he not been vaccinated, it would have been far worse than it was. And it was pretty bad to begin with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Jeff Passan with us here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Han. All right, so the impact this has on this team, losing some pretty good players for at least the next 10 days. I said at the start of yesterday's show, when we thought we were going to have a game last night, I still think this is the case. The next 2 weeks could determine Yankee careers, Right? I mean, when you think about where they are right now and where they would need to be right on the doorstep of the trade deadline, is this a franchise-altering 2 weeks for the Yankees, in your opinion?
It could be. I don't think it's Brian Cashman's style. And I say this because he is the general manager of this team now. And he is going to be the general manager of this team through the trade deadline. And from all I know, he's going to be the general manager of this team far beyond. It's not Brian Cashman's style to go and blow things up. It's just not. It's not the Yankee style to go and blow things up. And it feels to me like if you're going to make, like, Bob, to me there is one franchise-altering move that this team actually could make. What do you think that is?
I guess trading Aaron Judge, right? I mean, would that be the
That would be the A-bomb,
right, if they drop that one?
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I think trading Aaron Judge at the trade deadline would be stupid.
I'm with
you. It would be absurd.
Yes.
Not just because trading Aaron Judge would be wrong inherently. You can make that argument that it might be wrong. You can make the argument that it would behoove the franchise to do so. You just do it when you've got a market with all 30 teams. And right now, I'm sure if Aaron Judge went out on the market, you would have interest from the other 29 teams across baseball, but it's not going to be the same interest that you're going to get when they have an entire offseason to plan and to do other moves to complement the acquisition of Aaron Judge. So this feels much more like an offseason move than a right now move to me. And so because of that, I just don't know that these are going to be a franchise-altering couple of weeks.
Well, Buster said earlier today, and I'm curious if you are hearing the same thing from the folks you talk to, he's hearing that right now the Yankees are much more still in the buyer's mentality than even getting close to being a seller. Yes, they are well behind the Red Sox, but it's half the deficit to get to the wild card. That's still, if they just play to the back of their baseball cards, very reachable. Do you think the Yankees are still of the mindset, even if they just tread water the next 2 weeks? They're a 500 team against the Red Sox and Rays in these like 11 games that they have to play against them, where they're going to be looking to add pieces once they get to the deadline.
Yeah, but I just don't think they're going to add anyone all that significant. They're hoping to get Corey Kluber back a little earlier than anticipated, but is that and a couple of arms or maybe a mid-tier bat going to be enough? I don't think so. I look at the Yankees, Bob, and I see the fourth best team in the American League East. Not the fourth best team in the American League, the fourth best team in the division. And only a maximum of three teams from any particular division can make the postseason.
Right.
And that's not even looking at the AL West, which presumably is going to get one of the wild cards. I almost feel like the wild card right now is, you know, the two wild cards are a three-team race between the second-place team in the American League East, whether it's Boston or Tampa Bay, the Toronto Blue Jays, who are hanging around there, and whoever is the second-place team in the West between the Houston Astros and Oakland A's. I haven't seen enough from the Yankees this year to tell me that I should include them among that group of teams. Now, if they come out and, you know, run roughshod over the Red Sox here and, you know, start off with a bang, even without Judge and without Urshela and without Loaisiga in particular, you know, maybe that changes. Maybe that changes the mindset of exactly who they should go after in the trade market. Right now, though, they've done nothing to indicate to Brian Cashman that this team is worth betting on.
Jeff Passan with us here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus on the Goodyear Hotline. Barton Hahn, and how many of the big, you know, market teams be looking at the Cubs? I mean, I know you've mentioned, right, like if there's one team at the trade deadline that might make the most noise, and from the outside looking in, should I be surprised that the Cubs, this team that we thought could be a dynasty 4 or 5 years ago, is now in the position that they're in? Are they going to be the team just unloading some household names a couple of weeks from now?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go full on fire sale, everything must go. But I do think they're going to go and try and get value out of the guys who have the most. And that means Craig Kimbrell's probably going to go. And that means Chris Bryant is probably going to go. And that means Ryan Tepera and Andrew Chafin are probably going to go. And that meant Jock Peterson went yesterday, kicking off this whole thing. And it was interesting. The Peterson trade has a lot of fascinating elements to it. Number one, the Braves and Cubs have, like, about the same record. So the Braves consider themselves a team that's trying to buy while the Cubs are off selling, despite them being in similar positions. Number two, though, the fact that the Braves are buying and the fact that the Nationals are still looking at themselves as buyers, and the fact that the Phillies, who have the easiest schedule in all of baseball, by a long shot in the second half, see themselves as buyers, says that the New York Mets need to step up and do something. Because these other teams are gunning for them. They think the Mets are vulnerable. And that vulnerability is manifesting itself through the trade market right now, with even an Atlanta team missing Ronald Acuna Jr. for the rest of the season with an ACL tear, believing that it's still got enough to make a run at that division, or at least a playoff spot.
See, this is why you're good, because that was going to be my next question. I'm a Met fan. Like, to me, a Yankee fan is going to watch that team for the next 2 weeks, and I'm sure Brian Cashman, to a certain extent, is going to watch his own team and say, boys, prove to me you deserve that I go out and I try to make a trade, add payroll, ship prospects off. Because right now, at this point, if I'm the fourth best team in my own division, I haven't proven that I'm even worthy of making that trade. If this Mets team, to this point, with Jacob DeGrom out there, it's like an eclipse when the guy gives up a run. If they, without being able to score a run at times, still find ways to win, if they haven't proven that they are worthy of being the team to go out there and spend some resources to bring in a big bat, bring in a big-time infielder, bring in Chris Bryant, whoever, what team does, right? The Mets better make a trade, because if they don't and they get caught and they waste the first half that they just put together and another year of Jacob DeGrom being the best player at anything in sports, he's better at anything and than anybody on the globe is doing in sports right now. To me, that would be criminal. I agree with you. I mean, I guess you're telling me you think it's likely they make a move.
I think it's likely they do, and I think they have to. And I you know, at this point, like, Chris Bryant makes a lot of sense for the Nationals, and it makes a lot of sense in multiple regards. Number one, if they want to trade for him, they're going to get better. But number two, if they don't trade for him, they have reasonable cause to threaten the Mets that they're going to and drive up the price on the Mets. So, you know, Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations, just sitting there with a big old grin on his face right now. the idea that, in past years, position players in particular have not really driven a whole lot in terms of return. But I think Chris Bryant has a chance to do awfully well. The versatility is there. You know, the Mets could use a third baseman. The Mets could use a center fielder, and Chris Bryant could play both. And the Nationals could use a third baseman, could use a corner outfielder. And Chris Bryant can play both. So he is coming on to the trade market at the right time, and it's going to be a fascinating next couple of weeks to see just how aggressive the Mets are.
Jeff, thanks a million. I could talk to you all afternoon. I appreciate it. Sounds like, you know, some years the deadline's a bit of a dud. This year it sounds like we're going to have many, many reasons to talk again. So I appreciate the time.
I hope you're right, Bob. Look forward to it.
Keeping my fingers crossed. That's Jeff Passan joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And by the way, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Coming up at the top of the next hour, Michael Kay, who, of course, is the man in charge of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN here in New York. He will join us. We'll get even deeper into the Yankees, the COVID positives, how it impacts them, what the next 2 weeks mean, and we'll get your telephone calls up as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. When we come back, a brief word about the NBA Finals as well and what happens this weekend and whether CP3 can turn things around. Coming right back on the Bart and Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Bart and Han.
For him to have the agility, mobility, and hostility to go up there and block at the rim, that's a special, special play.
Lifted for the rim. Blocked out by Giannis on the alley-oop for 15.
That was an incredible play. I heard Greeny talk about it earlier today, and he kind of took a survey. I think he had Bruce Bowen on, Chad Lowe. They were ranking like the best defensive players, plays that they've ever seen in NBA history on Get Up. They did the top five, and they had that one at number one. Giannis's blocked shot with a minute 15 to go the other night to avoid either a tie or maybe an and-one dunk by Ayton and the lead, which would have put Phoenix on top on the road and all but ended this series. Phoenix wins that game. They blow a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter. Series is over. They're up 3-1 going home. So that block and really Chris Middleton in the fourth quarter saved the series, saved championship hope, saved the season for the Bucks. And now it feels like they've got the momentum going to Phoenix. So all the pressure now seems to be on the Suns. And after the first two games, when we talked about all the pressure being on the Bucks and specifically Giannis as an MVP to go home and win, and Giannis at least had Chris Middleton there, if there was ever a Robin that looked about equal or superior to Batman in the fourth quarter of a make-or-break game, it was Middleton in Game 4. Now we go back to Phoenix, where it seems like all of the Giannis pressure has now shifted back to Chris Paul. Because this is about whether or not Giannis is an MVP or Chris Paul is a 37 going on 38-year-old who's never even been to the finals before, much less won a ring. One of those two guys is going to put a ring on his finger. And while I think these are two teams that have gotten there by default, I think the only reason we have the Suns and the Bucks in this series is because of all the injuries that we had leading up to this series. They're there. One of the two is going to be a champion. And once they're a champion and they hang that banner, they're not going to come in and put an asterisk next to it and saying, yeah, but Kawhi and Kyrie and James Harden and LeBron all got hurt. The banner's going to be there. The ring's going to be on their finger. And it's going to be a legacy-making moment for one of the two players. And now, how do they defend Chris Paul? Are they still riding him all the way up the floor? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The adjustment now to Monty Williams. You know, Devin Booker, in a loss, scored 42 points. Right? He could have gone for 50 if he hadn't been in foul trouble. So, do you put some of the ball handling responsibility on him when he and Paul are both on the floor at the same time to try and take a little bit of the workload off of Chris Paul? And maybe that tires him out a little bit? Or is this just about Chris Paul kind of sucking it up and being, hey, I am an NBA legendary point guard. Everybody thinks I'm going to tire out and I can't do this. Let's go back to Phoenix. I'm going to show you. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Your telephone call's coming up. And Michael Kay, voice of the Yankees, will kick off hour number two. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN+.